eat Scotch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys and the Movies. And this week...
You take so long to say that. You've been doing that. You've been slowing down. Are you getting old?
No, I actually, about halfway through saying it, I try to remember what podcast I'm on.
Oh, yeah, because you're
on... Because I'm on so many.
Well, you do Reject Radio, and you do Fat Guys at the Movies.
And this is such a new one. We've only done 148 episodes.
I know, isn't that terrifying?
After this one. But it is. It is. I would like people to know that they're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
Yes.
So, anyway, this week we've got a good show for you. I think we have a Jackie Chan movie to talk about.
Just jump out there with plenty of confidence for the for the listenership.
We've also got the Book of Eli to talk about, mm-hmm. and possibly a single. We might talk about A Single Man. We're not sure yet, though.
We might.
And then, of course, we'll do news and stuff. Other things happening, and a really good Fat Guy 5 this week, which is not actually going to be 5 for all I know.
We have gotten worse at counting as the months have gone on.
We're going to do the most anticipated movies of 2010.
Yes.
Or 2010, I'm sorry.
And which one has Eddie Murphy in it?
I don't know. I'm sure we'll find one. Anyway, before we get into all of that, here's how you can get a hold of us. You can go over to fatguysofthemovies.com. You can get us on iTunes. Go to iTunes, search Fat Guys of the Movies, and you can subscribe and review us if you so choose.
Do you want to schlep for another review? Do you want to ask?
I don't know.
To
did
review?
We get any last week?
No, we never do. But you can ask again because you can be pathetic.
No,
you
it's
you're
okay.
good at that.
I'm good this week. I've done enough pathetic things this week. I don't need to
wonderful.
Add that to my list.
You're like, oh yes, I peed myself in the
yeah.
middle of a movie.
You can email us fatguysatfilmschoolrejects.com or leave us a voicemail. Area code 614-388-8735.
Do we get any voicemails?
No. I don't think so.
Nobody likes us.
I didn't check. Because we never get any, so I don't even check anymore. Yeah. But you can also... Twitter is very important this week. You can get Kevin on Twitter at twitter.com/KevinCarr.
Yes.
That's got two R's in it at the end there. And you can get me at twitter.com/rejects. And the reason this is important is because if you're one of those people who's into indie film over the next week and the week afterwards, I will be at Sundance.
You can see the next Oscar contenders for next year.
Right. You know, and think about films that played at Sundance last year, and like, you know, 500 Days of Summer, World's Greatest Dad.
Well, let's talk a little bit. I'm looking forward to what there's always every year you go to Sundance. There's always a film mm-hmm. that you love, and you just whore out all over the place publicity mm-hmm. wise, and it goes nowhere. Like last year.
Whoa.
I think it was Assassination from the High School President.
No, that was 2 years ago.
Last year was the Whackness. When was the Whackness?
No, the Whackness was 2 years ago.
Okay, because you were like
was
all
3 about,
years
ago.
You were all about the Whackness, and then it came out.
Wow, we've been recording that long. We've been doing Fat Guys and the Movies that long to where 3 years ago at Sundance, I saw a movie that you are still giving me crap about.
What's really funny is actually if you look at how we've been on doing this podcast so long, this radio show podcast, that they're now making sequels to movies we reviewed in the first...
That's true. Or canceling sequels. Didn't we review Spider-Man 2?
Spider-Man 3.
Oh, Spider-Man 3.
We reviewed Spider-Man 3, but we reviewed Transformers and then Transformers 2. And yeah, you're
That's
right, Spider-Man
3.
We can talk more about Spider-Man 3. You want to talk? Because we didn't see any of these movies this week.
Yeah. Well,
they showed it to us late.
You know. We'll
you want to talk about Spider-Man 3 now?
Well,
we can
Spider-Man
talk about Spider-Man
4. Where are we on 4, I think?
Yeah, I
no, anyway,
say.
So you can follow me on Twitter. Follow me at Rejects on Twitter for Sundance updates. I mean, there's some cool movies. The Runaways, that Kristen Stewart, Dakota Fanning movie about the band, The Runaways.
About the vampires.
And then Frozen, I think, is kind of a cool thriller that's getting some buzz.
Does it have a hobbit in it? Would it be Frodozen?
No. But, you know, so there's going to be some cool movies, and there's always something that, you know, there's always something that you wouldn't expect. So you can get that on Twitter, get me over at filmschoolrejects.com. It'll be fun, or I'm going to die, because it's really busy. But let's talk about Spider-Man 4.
Yes.
So the news this week was that Sam Raimi left the production of Spider-Man 4, which was due to come out in middle of 2011.
Now this is the thing I want to know, because I read all the brief blurbs and stuff like that, but mm-hmm. all I got was that They're not doing it with Sam Raimi or the cast. Did somebody, was there a falling out?
What
did somebody leave? What was the linchpin?
Sam Raimi, they were having some creative difficulties, and Sam Raimi decided that he could not meet their timetable. He wasn't going to be able to finish the movie for the release date that they had already set, which I believe was in June of 2011. And I think a lot of it was around.
How insane
the
is it that you say I can't make a movie? You can throw as much money as you want to at me. I can't make a movie in a year and a half.
Well, I mean, it's kind of a big movie. These movies take time. He said that creatively he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it the way he wanted in that time frame. Mm-hmm. And so then Sony said, "All right, cool. Well, you can go away then, and we will find someone else." And not only did they say that, are they going to find someone else, new director? But they're going to completely reboot the franchise.
Well, and
new
you
director,
know why I think
new star,
doing...
new story, go back to the beginning, and...
Well, here's the thing. This is what happened with the X-Men movies, which is why they ended up making Wolverine instead of, like, X-Men 4, is it just got too expensive. The director fee was so huge, the effects were so huge, they had a big cast. I mean,
no
I would imagine...
And no one wants to pay Brett Ratner twice as much to make another...
Well, but I mean, look at Tobey. How much is it going to cost to get Tobey Maguire to do another Spider-Man
movie?
It's going to be a lot more than getting him to do the first Spider-Man movie. I mean, the biggest claim he had before that was like Seabiscuit.
Right, right. You know, Spider-Man kind of made that career for him. And you know, it's an interesting play, I guess, for Sony.
I say good for Sony.
You know what? I was talking, I did a thing for AMC. Movie blog yesterday. They got me on Skype and put my fat face on their blog, I guess,
wow.
talking about
this. Was
there
enough room on the blog for that?
And, well, it's a wide page layout. And I said, you know, they should do something interesting with Spider-Man. They should make this new Spider-Man, like, set it in the 60s or something. You know, be like Spider-Man in the 60s where he's dealing with being a teenager of that era and also having superpowers. I think that'd be
way cool. That's an awful idea.
I think it's boring for them to go back and just do another, like, another...
What they need to do is they need to do a Spider-Man movie and not have an origin story. For crying out loud.
No, they're
going to
do an origin story.
Oh,
I just think they should
set
it in a different place and different time or something. And do
they should do a Spider-Man movie and, like, have Peter Dinklage play Spider-Man. As a high school student.
Little Spider-Man?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
I'm not in support of them casting Taylor Lautner, getting Chris Weitz to direct, and making
I don't think that's just happen.
Doing the same story over again.
Never happens. It's never that first person that they mention. It always turns into somebody else, so I wouldn't worry about it.
Fair enough.
They're gonna have Adam Lambert play
Adam
Spider-Man.
Lambert. Ugh,
that would be hilarious. Anyways, let's quickly not review The Spy Next Door because nobody saw it. Jackie Chan plays a spy next door.
Secret agent Bob Ho has taken down dictators, terrorists, and evil empires, but he's about to face his toughest assignment yet. Babysitting.
Do me a favor, can you watch my kids?
Isn't there any other option? Foster care? Juvenile hall?
They'll be perfectly safe with me.
It's not them I'm worried about.
Got a deep six, Bob.
Now, I didn't see this. You didn't see this. They showed it in Cleveland. I wasn't going to drive up at like 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning, so I said, screw you, Lionsgate.
Right. Unfortunately, this doesn't look good. This looks like Jackie Chan going back to his glory days in The Tuxedo, if that makes any sense.
It doesn't look
for
good.
For anyone that saw The Tuxedo.
It gets a preemptive suck. It's not even what we're talking about.
No,
we're done.
Not.
I'm
we're
done talking about it. Are you done
segment.
Talking about it?
I'm totally done talking.
Yeah.
And we're back here on Fat Guys at the Movies, and we're trucking right along. Did we even talk about a movie in that first segment?
We didn't talk about Spy Next Door, but we didn't need to talk about The Spy Next Door because...
Right.
They didn't show it to us. Screw
cool.
you, Lionsgate.
All right, well, moving on to movies that I don't know if we've both seen. The Book of Eli, starring Denzel Washington as a survivor of the apocalypse, protecting the hope... of survival for mankind.
I've used survivor twice, survive of some sort in that description twice. My apologies, Neil Miller.
Yeah, it happened.
30 winters ago, the war tore a hole in the sky. Only a few survived. Our only hope is in my hands.
Take off the pack, nice and slow.
Put that hand on me again, you won't get it back.
Cursed be the ground for our sake. For out of the ground we were taken, and to the dust we shall return. I told you you weren't going
to
get that back.
Did you see this movie?
I tried
movie?
To read that, but... No. I'm actually seeing it. We're recording a little early this week, and I will see it.
Well, we're recording no earlier than we normally do. There's no way we could have seen this.
It's just they're screening it so late. We record in the middle of the week. They're screening it about 20 minutes before it comes out. Yeah. So...
Now, if this was back in the day when you also lived in Ohio and we were together, and we physically get together, like, say, on a Thursday night and then post the show, sure, we could have both seen it, but...
Right.
That's not in the cards.
Right.
That's all I have to say.
Okay.
All right. So I don't know about this movie.
Anyway, I've heard that it's okay. I'm trying to look right now through the give a preview of Rob Hunter's review from Film School Rejects.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he liked it. That's saying a lot because Rob Hunter is not someone that...
Well, if it doesn't have Japanese schoolgirls in it, he turns his nose up.
This one definitely doesn't. No. So for him to like it, I would say the overwhelming sentiment is positive.
Here's what bothers me. This is what worries me about this movie.
Okay, go ahead.
It's January. That's it. That's really all there is to say. I mean, January, for those who don't know, January is a notorious time for movies that aren't that good coming out. And... You know, like last week we had Daybreakers, which wasn't bad. I mean, Daybreakers was okay, but it wasn't awesome. Mm-hmm. But it was the best movie that was out there. And you saw Youth and Revolt, and you thought it was decent.
Right.
And then there was Leap Year. I mean, they just kind of throw some crap out there in January. It's like August.
Mm-hmm.
Only without...
Well, and this January doesn't seem as bad, especially when we have Edge of Darkness coming out later in the month and stuff like that. It doesn't seem to be quite as bad. I seem to...
Well, there's no Meet the Spartans out right now.
Right, there's no really bad movies. And for some reason, the last couple of years, probably the last, 3 years, I've kind of not felt the full effect of the January thing because of Sundance, because of going to the film festival for half of January.
Yeah.
It totally messes me up. But it just feels like looking at the slate for the rest of this month, it's not that bad. And I've heard from several people that Book of Eli is at least worth seeing. So, you know, I mean, give it a chance, I guess.
Okay.
Whatever.
Strong words from Neil Miller.
Ooh. Yeah, also opening this week in limited release is Fish Tank, which I've heard is spectacular.
The heck's that about? But is that another one of your... Is that like Assassination of a High School President meets the Whackness in a tank?
No. I haven't seen it yet. I have a screener coming, but apparently, like, Michael Fassbender, the guy who played the British guy in Inglourious Basterds, is in it. And he apparently just delivers a performance.
You mean Michael Myers?
No, Michel Fassbender. The guy who plays the British soldier.
Oh.
The film critic soldier.
The German guy.
The British soldier that goes and meets the Inglourious Bastards.
The one with the subtitles?
No.
Was that the movie with the Nazis?
I hate you. Anyway, but I think it's also opening on a video on demand, which is important because anybody can watch video on demand. Anybody
what
cable.
Movie is this?
It's called Fish Tank. It's a British
Nobody's
movie.
Nobody's going to see this movie.
That if you have video on demand, you could see this movie?
Well, yeah. If you have, there's a lot of things you could
see. Do you have cable?
Yes.
Then you could see this movie, Kevin.
I could see Ishtar too, but that doesn't mean I'm going to run out and go get it.
But this is—it's coming out on video on demand. It's notable. I mean, it's better than we don't have anything else to talk about. We already talked about The Lovely Bones, you know, and The Spy Next Door. We didn't see, and Book of Eli. We didn't see yet, but we're going to.
Don't blame me. It's not my fault.
I don't see any reason why I can't talk about Fish Tank.
Well, that's fine. Does it have anything to do with Monty Python and the Meaning of Life? Finding the fish.
No.
No.
But it is British.
Ooh. Well, so it does have something to do with Monty Python.
I guess there's a link there somewhere.
We are the worst movie critics in January because they don't show us. It's not that we're bad critics.
It's really just, yeah. Well, and you want to know what's funny is my Book of Eli screening is up against Extraordinary Measures.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah.
If I were to then try and, I can't see both.
Well, what are you going to see? Well, you're not going to be on the show next week because you're going to be in Sundance.
That's true. So it's irrelevant.
Yeah. Now, they're not, I don't even think they're showing Extraordinary Measures because it's a new sort of branch. It's CBS Films, which makes no sense.
Yeah.
So.
No, they showed it here, I guess. Twice now, I guess. I guess missed a press.
They have the other
already.
One. Did you miss it?
I was in Cleveland.
You slept, didn't you?
No. I was not in town when they had the first press screening, and then the second one is up against Book of Eli, which I'm going to see Book of Eli. So there. Eat it, people.
All right. Well, we can't give a preemptive suck to the Book of Eli because they are, in fact, showing it to us.
Right.
We just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it has the tour de force acting of Mila Kunis in it. Now, if you didn't get enough of her with Max Payne,
Gary Oldman in it.
Yeah, but nobody takes him seriously. Mila Kunis is the one that everybody is interested in. Isn't she up for an Oscar?
Mila Kunis?
Yeah.
No, for what?
I don't know. Max Payne?
They haven't nominated the Oscars yet.
Well, yeah, but they have before.
Mila Kunis has never been up for an Oscar.
Oh, okay.
Are you... What
Extract.
Is wrong?
She was an Extract.
I am currently speechless at what is... you're the worst film critic ever.
You're the worst film critic ever.
She has not been nominated for an Oscar.
No, she hasn't. Why did you even say that?
I hate you. You're just, at this point, you're just wasting time because we have 2.5 minutes left.
We don't have anything to talk about except the movie about fish guts.
Fish tank.
Should we move on? Each. There's a movie I have seen, which is, I don't know, it's expanding. It's been an expansion. It's opening in Columbus, so that's good enough for me to talk about. Should we talk about A Single Man?
Yeah, no, talk about it away. You can have your time with your movie.
Yeah, because you haven't seen anything. Is there anything worth talking about that you've actually seen? You're literally sitting there with a screener of Fish Tank staring you in the face, and you come on the show completely unprepared. I'm disgusted.
I don't know.
You're fired.
I'm not really sure. I'm going to watch there's a Nick Nolte documentary that I got a screener of that I'm going to watch. Nick Nolte, No Exit.
What's it a documentary of? Of
about
Nick Nolte?
Nick Nolte and his lack of exit, I guess. Did you hear that Michael C. Hall had cancer?
Yeah.
Has cancer?
I did
That's
hear that.
Sad.
I did hear that.
But I guess it's in remission, so it's not.
Wow, that's just about as random. Are you just like on Yahoo News looking at random things?
No, I'm just on the Twitter looking at this.
You're on Twitter on the show. I'm going to punch you in the face.
I mean, what else are you doing right now that's interesting?
Can I have a shark send a cadogram to your house?
No.
Okay. Anyways, a single man, Colin Firth plays a homosexual in the 1960s who is devastated by the death of his partner.
What are you doing this weekend?
I think I might just be very quiet.
You never really did take me seriously, did you, George?
I tried to, Charlie, remember? A long time ago. Didn't really work out, did it? No, Charlie. Sleep tight.
Now, you didn't see this at all.
No, and you know what? This is, it's interesting because it's one of those movies that everyone seems to be talking about here and there.
Well, for his performance more than anything
else.
Yeah,
and for some reason I just keep missing out on it. I should go see it. It's been out here in Austin for like a month.
It's okay. It's not that bad. I mean, it's definitely an award film thing. You can tell it's one of those movies where they're like, oh, this is the movie, and Colin Firth was like, I need to do this movie so I can get award nominations. It really has that feel to it. He does a fine job acting in it, but overall, I was just kind of bored with it. It was. I mean, it's worth seeing for the performances, but that's about it. People smoked a lot of dope in the 60s.
Well, that's true.
So. It also has the kid from Skins, from the BBC series Skins.
Which kid from Skins?
Tony? The kid who gets hit and gets
Dev
brain
Patel
damage.
Dev Patel was in Skins, too.
Not, the guy he's not, that's Slumdog not Tony. Millionaire. That's Dev Patel. He's the Indian dude.
He's the... Is that his name in the credits? The Indian dude?
Yes. Well, actually, he's the Muslim dude in that movie.
I've had enough of you, Kevin Carr.
Anyways, Single Man kind of sucks, even though Colin Firth did a good job. I like him as an actor, so I give him credit. Kudos, Colin Firth.
Anyway, we'll be back. Don't
get in a fish tank.
Miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck.
Oh yeah.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies, and special announcement. I'm currently in the negotiations with NBC to take over the Tonight Show.
No.
Did you hear about this?
Sounds about right. But the Tonight Show is going to be on at 3 a.m.
Yeah, they're going to put me on the Tonight Show at 3:45 to 3:50 a.m. Mm-hmm. weekly, every other week.
Yeah. Okay.
That was it. That was my joke.
Okay.
Do you want to move on? What's box office? You want to talk box office this week?
Yeah. We should probably talk about Avatar.
Surprise winner at the box office?
No, see, it's not even worth that anymore. It's just, I mean, I wasn't covering box office when Titanic came out.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling that covering the box office got pretty boring back in 1998.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is with Titanic is, what it did is it had this steady, like, it was like 20 to 25 million for like, mm-hmm. 10 weeks.
Yeah.
Every week, 20 to 25 million.
Right.
Weekend.
And it only won the weekend like 3 times in its 41 weeks, I believe.
No. It was number one for like 10 weeks.
No. I will look it up.
Look it up. I'm pretty sure Titanic won the weekend.
You do the box office recap for last weekend, and I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, I don't have it in front of me. I'm just relying on you.
Oh, jeez. I'll do it and look it up because I'm good.
I'll tell you, Avatar made $50 million. It actually was underestimated. It came in $50 million. It's had very, very small drops. Mm-hmm. And now Avatar is at 400. At the time of recording, it's at 430-some million. It's like the fifth highest domestic, and it's the second highest international. It beat out. Mm-hmm. It just recently beat out. What was it? Lord of the Rings was the next one down. Mm-hmm. And you know, I made a comment last week where I said I don't know whether it's going to beat Titanic, but you know, I think it's got a shot. I actually think it's got a shot to beat Titanic in the.
I think it has a shot to beat Titanic. Here's some stats on Titanic. This is kind of okay. Fun. Most weekends at number one. Or, I'm sorry, let's see, how many weekends did it have at number one?
15.
Yeah, fair enough.
See, I even knew that.
You with your statistics.
See, you're right. You said it never was at number one. It was at number five for 80 weekends.
It was number one for 15 straight weeks. Wow. That's awesome. Interesting. How many weeks has, whatchamacallit, been number one?
Four.
Four.
But it has the highest fourth weekend ever. It was like at 50 million for being your fourth weekend out. 50 million is freaking spectacular.
Yeah,
I mean, that's like unheard of. That's beyond Dark Knight.
Right. Well, the thing about Titanic was that it took it so long to get to where it finished.
Well, Titanic
and Avatar
has
done it much swifter.
Well, part of it is you've got higher ticket prices, which you know, like if you read like Nikki Fink's blog and stuff like that, she'll point that out, and rightfully so. But the point is, it needs to be in a higher bracket. The ticket prices being higher is justified because you need to see it in the IMAX. You need to see it in 3D. You can't just say, oh, well, because Titanic got it in regular theaters. That's true. But the reason I think Avatar is making so much money is because it is so
good and
such
3D.
An experience.
Yeah.
And
that's what Titanic was. I mean, the reason so many people saw Titanic that many times was because it was one of those movies you had to see on the big screen.
Well, but also the love story. You can't just count what drove Titanic, what drove it for so long. There were women going and seeing that movie.
I would argue that it had more to do with the fact that Titanic was such a big movie.
I don't know.
And such an impressive spectacle at the time. I don't think the love story drives it. Otherwise, Twilight would have made way more money if the love story was really the driving force behind Titanic. I think
Twilight made a lot of its money and
but it didn't make $2 billion.
No, it didn't make $2 billion. But it's not a good love. It's a crappy love story. New Moon and Twilight they're crappy love stories, mm-hmm. and they're teen love stories. And the thing is, it's such a quick to market DVD that you know they'll move on. Plus, you know, it's teenagers. Teenagers are fickle. What you had is the romance book. You had the romance novel crowd who goes and sees it over and over. Same thing with Dirty Dancing. Dirty Dancing, way back when. You know, 25 years ago, Dirty Dancing made so much money because you had women that would go see it every weekend. And right. and that's why New Moon, in fact, did so well in its first and second weekend is because you had girls going and seeing it on the day it opened, then they saw it that late. And I mean, I know people who went and saw it 3-4 times in the first week.
Yeah. So. Fair enough.
Yeah. But so I think it has a shot because...
Is the Book of Eli going to beat it this weekend?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, you don't think so?
No, I don't know. I mean, the Hughes brothers haven't done anything big. I mean, they're notable, but they haven't done any huge movies. They're not like a bankable name. They're not like the Wachowskis were before Speed Racer.
Right.
You know, I mean, what's the biggest movie the Wachowski brothers did? From Hell? Is that the biggest one they've done?
The Wachowski brothers or the Hughes brothers?
No, I mean the Hughes brothers, because they did Menace to Society and what Dead Presidents and From Hell, and I don't know anything else they've done. Just because I don't know.
I'm trying to find out. I don't know. Nope, don't know.
No, you don't know.
It doesn't matter.
So I don't know.
But Denzel, I don't think I think Avatar will probably make another $40 million, and I don't think Book of Eli is going to take more than $40 million.
I don't think Book of Eli has a chance of getting anywhere close to $40 million.
Right. If Avatar made 50 last week, then yeah.
Yeah. And there's like we talked about last week, there's not another 3D IMAX movie until Alice in Wonderland, and that's not until March.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Avatar's got it locked up for the next couple weeks. I mean, I don't think
until it goes off 3D, which is what, in March.
Yeah, but even then it'll still do okay. But yeah, I think once it gets off the 3D screens, that's when it's going to wane.
Mm-hmm.
So,
cool.
Daybreakers was okay, did okay, and Leap Year. Everything did okay except Youth and Revolt didn't do that well.
Well, it was kind of a limited deal.
Yeah, they're all smaller releases. And it was, anyway. Speaking of stuff that is coming up in 2000.
Oh yeah, we got that thing we wanted to do.
That Fat Guy 5.
Yeah, which is not actually 5. It's more than 5.
It's like 9. 11 if you count the honorable mentions.
Which I can't believe you made me put... Oh, never mind. There's one of the honorable mentions which deserves to be on the list, in my opinion. We'll let you figure out which one. Oh,
good Lord.
Anyway, so we'll start. You can start. I think that first one was yours.
Alice in Wonderland. Yeah, that's the one I'm really looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. Simply because I'm one of those people, I love 3D. I get irritated at the people who are like who bash 3D.
Mm-hmm.
Because my here's my thing.
Did you know that that it's not the traditional Alice in Wonderland story?
Well, yeah, because there's no story to the traditional the original Alice in Wonderland. It's just she kind of wanders through Wonderland.
Oh.
The original Disney show movie from the 50s. That's pretty much what it was. She just kind of stumbles through Wonderland and then
right.
leaves.
Well, no. I mean, like, it's almost like a sequel.
It's a sequel. She's returning to it. Yeah. But
I didn't know if you knew that or not. I thought I was going to have some knowledge there for a second.
Nope. None for you. Well, but no, what I was...
At least I tried.
I get irritated at people who bash 3D. And they're like, oh, 3D is stupid and sucks. And why are they making so many movies in 3D? Every movie that's come out in 3D, with the exception, well, there's one exception.
Mm-hmm.
Every movie you can go see in the traditional screen without problem at all.
Yeah.
And you know the one movie you couldn't see outside of the 3D screen?
What?
Aside from like those like T-Rex Back to the Cretaceous, those direct to IMAX ones. It was Fly Me to the Moon. That's the only movie that was an exclusive 3D engagement.
Right.
So, you know, then go see it in the regular theaters. Why are you so upset that other people want to see 3D? That irritates me.
Right. There will always be 2D theaters.
Yeah.
I don't think 3D is going to take over.
No, I think, but I have no problem with them making movies in 3D because they don't do gimmick stuff really anymore. You know, Up is a great example. Up was released in 3D. Mm-hmm. The DVD and Blu-ray was not in 3D. Mm-hmm. But the theatrical was in 3D, and it's like, it was really kind of cool to see
it.
It
was really great
in
3D.
But you didn't have to, and it wasn't gimmicky. There's occasionally, I mean, like something like Final Destination.
Which was gimmicky.
Was very gimmicky. Anyways,
moving on.
You do your
can
next
I
one,
can
please.
I move on to the next one? Because
yes,
the next one
yes,
is probably the most anticipated movie since the last most anticipated movie ever.
What are you talking about?
For me, Iron Man 2.
Yes.
I loved Iron Man 1.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
You did not.
Yes,
I saw
did.
It with you, and you were like,
I gave it an A++.
You gave it an A++ after you wrote the review a week later. But I saw you were just like, oh, it was okay. Yeah, it was good. No, I thought it was good.
We're not talking. We're not rehashing this. Anyway, so the second movie incorporates War Machine, played by Don Cheadle, who it's the same character that what's his name played in the first one,
Terrence Howard,
but now he's going to be War Machine and he's going to be a better actor, I guess is the change for the second movie, and he's going to face off against Mickey Rourke, which is pretty cool. Mickey Rourke plays
Whiplash. Has-been wrestler.
As a has-been wrestler with electronic...
Wrestler.
with electric whips and chains awesome. And stuff. So it's going to be a little bit of bondage. But Iron Man 2. I'm sure that Iron Man 2 is going to be pretty cool.
It'll be neat.
So, next up, you can have
the
next
The Wolfman. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to that.
I am too. You know who's really looking forward to that? That I was surprised to hear? My mom. I was at home for Christmas, and that's Jerome all Butler's she wanted to talk about was, oh my God, have you seen this new Wolfman movie that's coming out?
Yeah.
It was the strangest thing.
That's
but,
bizarre. See, my dad's looking forward to it. He liked the original Wolfman.
Yeah, well, and I think, I don't know, I just feel like there's that movie might do kind of well, because there's kind of this generation of people that, you know, that was the iconic horror movie of their childhood or young.
Well, 40s. I don't think your mom was around.
Well, but I mean, that was kind of in between then and the, 70s? There really wasn't a ton. They didn't make a lot of really great horror movies in the 50s, as far as I know.
Well, okay, that's not true, but okay.
That's just
the Universal Monster movies were the 30s and 40s, and then the Hammer movies did them in the 50s and 60s.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Sort of correct.
So those monsters
were
still pretty big when
they've always
they were
been
growing
big.
Up.
Let's move on.
Anyways, so
what's the next one?
The next one is Cop Out, which is Kevin Smith's new movie. It is the first movie that Kevin Smith has not written. He's directing. It stars Bruce Willis, Sean William Scott, and Tracy Morgan. It is a buddy cop movie, I guess. Apparently, it's going to be just as vulgar as any Kevin Smith movie, but it's not written by him. So it'll just be interesting to me because Kevin Smith's always been such a good writer. And his directing has always been kind of secondary to his writing. So it'll be interesting to see him go the other way and direct something that somebody else wrote. So who knows if it'll be funny. I'm looking forward to it because I like Kevin Smith's stuff. So
if you want to hear my thoughts on it, you should go listen to my podcast for the film stage I did. We talked about Kevin Smith, and we talked at length about Cop Out, in which I call Tracy Morgan the Antichrist of comedy.
Wow.
Yeah.
You make me so sad sometimes.
He's awful. He's terrible. Oh,
he's
my
not,
Lord.
Do you watch 30 Rock? He's hilarious.
Yeah, I've watched a couple. No, he's awful. He's
no,
awful.
30 Rock is hilarious.
Done.
And Tracy Morgan makes that show perfectly.
Tracy Morgan's an idiot.
Anyway, the next movie is Inception. It's Christopher Nolan's new movie, which he said this week is going to be massive, even bigger than The Dark Knight on a bigger scale. And he said it's influenced a lot by James Bond. It's kind of a mysterious movie where, I guess, crimes happen inside people's minds and things like that, and cities flip over, and there's a dreidel, I guess. But
there's a dreidel?
Yeah, in the trailer. Or a spinning
dreidel,
top
dreidel,
slash
dreidel. I made you out of clay. Dreidel,
but,
dreidel, dreidel,
but it looks
dreidel,
very cool, and you know what? Christopher Nolan, I think, has proved himself to be a pretty solid director, so why not?
All right, let's move on. We got to go.
Yeah.
Toy Story 3.
Toy Story 3.
Tron Legacy, those are two CGI movies I can't wait to see. I'm a Disney whore. We all know that.
Yep. Kick-Ass, which is going to be awesome. Violent Children.
Allegedly. Okay.
And
Clash of the Titans with Sam Worthington.
Sam, I'm in everything Worthington.
Yeah, who... Probably the worst part of Avatar, but...
Yeah,
anyway.
Well, he's not that great of an actor. Honorable mentions were the Red Dawn remake, which should be interesting, and the Expendables, which I think should have been on the list... With Sly Stallone. It's got every badass person ever in it.
It doesn't have me.
That's exactly what I'm saying here.
Whatever.
So anyway, we're gonna go. We'll be back here to wrap you up in a moment. And we're wrapping up here with Fat Guys at the Movies. It's time again to send you off into the wilderness. I really feel like we haven't prepared you for the weekend properly.
No, we haven't. It's January. It's always a disaster for January.
You know what? Go and get some DVDs. And in order to help you with that, we're going to bring you to the world famous DVD Roundup. And we'll start with, this was a really good...
Did you hear that? There's a cruise ship going by.
I guess. Are you on the Titanic?
Yes, I'm on the Titanic. There are blue aliens on the Titanic that are...
Next week, neither of us will be on the show, because Kevin's going to be dead.
That's right.
Anywho...
We will have a special
guest. It was a great
week
for DVD. What I'm saying is it was a great week for DVD.
It is. This week and next week are awesome for DVDs.
Right. You'd be doing yourself a solid by going to, you know, Netflix and getting some movies or going out to your local video store. A couple that you should check out, Moon is finally out in the United States.
Has nothing to do with people pulling their pants down.
Yeah, it looks great. Sounds great. It has one of the best performances of the year from Sam Rockwell. The Hurt Locker, which is definitely going to get nominated and might win Best Picture. So it's one of those you want to see. It's the front runner. Every single major film critics association, Los Angeles, New York, and Chicago, all picked The Hurt Locker. Did online film critics pick The Hurt Locker?
No, they picked they picked Up in the Air. And Up came in a close second.
Oh. But it seems like just about every Austin film critics picked The Hurt Locker as best film. The Hurt Locker is just cleaning up. So go see it. It's worth at least one look.
It's a good movie. I'll tell you though, just early, my prediction: what's going to win Best Picture and Best
what's
Director
win Best Picture?
Inglourious Basterds. Not saying it should. That's just my prediction.
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised.
I think the Academy.
This is a wide open year.
The Academy wants to give an Oscar to Quentin Tarantino, and that's why I'll win.
They might. Also out this week that I like, The Brothers Bloom, which was the second movie from Rian Johnson, the guy who did Brick, which was a great movie. Yeah. And The Last Action Hero on Blu-ray. Last Action Hero in widescreen. I know people that could not find a copy of this in widescreen for years. And now you can get it on the Blu-ray.
I didn't realize it was in that big of a demand.
It is. I wrote a Movies We Love this week on Film School Rejects about it because it is one of the more significant action movies of my young life.
About your Well, it came out the same summer as Jurassic Park, and I know you're a big fan of that.
It came out when I was 10. That movie was awesome when I was 10.
Yes.
Still awesome now.
Wow.
Anyway.
Can I do mine?
Sure.
I want to give a little love to In the Loop. I just saw that.
That movie is so funny.
Hilarious movie. You'll learn a lot about international politics and how things work on the inside of in both British and American governments. And you will also learn how to swear like a Brit. It is awesome.
You will learn new swear words from that movie.
It's like
they
watching
make
Scarface.
Them up as they go along. It's just fantastic.
And a little thing, Anna Chumsley's in it. The girl from
Anna Chlumsky.
Whatever her name is.
The girl from My Girl.
My Girl, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is kind of.
I wrote that in my Blu-ray column this week.
Awesome. Also, Simpsons Season 20 is out on DVD and Blu-ray. Now, they've been releasing all the Simpsons seasons, and I think they're up to like 11 or 12 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's out on. They've released Season 20 since they just did Season 20, so it's, you know, on Monumental. So they're doing a little out of order, but there's no special features. It's just the season. But for Die Hard Simpsons.
Yeah, which
fans,
is lame, I guess. No special features.
There's a couple ABC Family shows. Make It or Break It. The aliens are attacking here in the Magical Studio.
You
in the
got
sky.
Cruise ships and aliens.
Yeah, it's amazing.
The Magical Studio Sky is magical this week. For
Make people. It or Break It Season 1 from ABC Family, as well as 10 Things I Hate About You, ABC Family shows. If you got a kid.
Oh, the show?
Yeah, the show. The DVD came out last week. Season 12.
Oh my God, that show's still on?
Well, I don't,
isn't it over
no,
now?
No, it's over, but they're releasing the DVDs. It's like
was it the final season?
I think there's another season or two. It's like Dallas. I got Dallas Season 12. It comes out next week, but I started watching it. That's a crazy show, man. Dallas. It would have been better.
I won't even tell you who shot JR.
Well, you know what's funny is at Season 12, like he gets shot at the cliffhanger of season 11 too. So I'm like, he gets shot again. So I think it would have been better if they would have actually had Patrick Ewing as one of the Ewings in the.
Who did shoot JR?
I don't remember. I never watched it. I started in season 12.
I don't know.
His wife shot him in season 11, but that's not the big who shot JR.
Anyway, moving on. Is that all we have?
We got stinkers.
Oh, yes, we do. Yes. Two of them.
Post-grad, which was awful, with Alexis Bledel as a college graduate trying to find a job. And then Halloween 2. I finally got around to watching that. God, that was a bad movie. And the sad thing is, it made $37 million. It cost $15 million, which means it justified to do another one. Rob Zombie is going to be remaking The Blob. God help us.
Well, and there are people that really love Rob Zombie's movies that will go down swinging defending this one.
I don't know. I just do not get it. I've had a lot of people say, I normally love Rob Zombie stuff, but this movie was terrible, and it was awful.
Well, I mean, I normally like movies, and this one was terrible.
Yeah.
So, anyway, time to wrap up the reviews. We had The Spy Next Door and The Book of Eli, which neither one of us have seen yet, so kind of see at your own risk, though. I've heard good things about The Book of Eli. Mm. And then A Single Man, which you did see.
Yeah, I said it kind of sucked.
So, you know, there you have it. I would say rent it DVD or go see Avatar again or whatever. Next week, we've got a guest on the show. Do you know who the guest is going to be next week?
It's going to be Fozzie Bear.
Oh.
From FozzieBear.com. Not the Muppet.
So a listener is hosting.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying. That's pretty awesome. You guys are going to be talking about Extraordinary Measures, Legion, and The Tooth Fairy. In between now and then, FatGuysAtTheMovies.com is your source. We're out of here.